Infinite Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Infinite Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints. It's March the 5th on the East Coast, still March the 4th on the West Coast, and points in between, around the way, or already there. Welcome, and I'm happy to be back again tonight. We're going to do something a bit different tonight. I've been doing some research, and I had a friend, a dear friend, on the in the northwest region of the country, send me a pretty important piece of work, which was filmed. The film and the audio were a bit noisy and grainy. The film was made with someone's camcorder, kind of capturing the audio as it transpired during an event, which was a seminar or one of these consortiums where a group of people get together and they discuss ufology. This particular event took place in Idaho. It was one of a few speeches given by a former U.S. government geologist and also a UFO activist, a gentleman who passed away somewhat around a year after he began speaking publicly about what he knew. His name was Phil Schneider. Many of you out there probably know about Mr. Schneider. He was very courageous, and he was involved in a firefight at the Dulce Base in Dulce, New Mexico. And I thought it would be interesting for those of you who wonder if this is just a hodgepodge of information that we bring forward, or we can back these things up. Now, I wasn't there with Mr. Schneider, although he describes 66 Black Berets, or otherwise known as Delta Force personnel, who were killed in this event. This is all over the web. If you read the works of Branton, for example, he wrote quite extensively about that base. And the significance, of course, is the fact that we know about many, many underground bases around the world, and Phil Schneider talks about these. Before we go into playing a portion, this is quite a long speech that he gave. And he is using some props at one point, and it's pretty self-explanatory what he's talking about. I think what's important is the information that he's giving. If you don't see any of the props, you can still vividly picture what he's talking about. And I think just the story itself is very revealing. It's very truthful. The man had no reason to lie about what he did. In fact, it cost him his life. And we could acknowledge his work. We could acknowledge his courage, and at least educate ourselves as to what this problem was. Now, I'd like to give a quick shout out to some folks. Number one, I owe a great sense of gratitude to my brother and good friend, Dr. Len Horowitz, who has been hyping my show at the end of his show. Every week he does this, and I'm very appreciative of those listeners that hang in there. Normally, we don't get a lot of calls in on the show. However, I'm going to play a portion of Phil Schneider's speech, and I may play the rest tomorrow night and leave the lines open for calls later on, say the last 15 or 20 minutes of the show. Just in case you're wondering what the numbers are, if you're listening to this in the dark and you don't have your index screen up, the numbers toll-free in the U.S. only are 877 877-576-5227. Also in the USA and Canada, toll-free 888-815-9756. And the direct line, 530-876-3222. Now I'm going to ask you to hold off on those calls for the next, let's say, 35, 40 minutes, if you would, please. And I'll be happy to talk about this. This is a very interesting case, and the information is even more interesting. I apologize for any anomalies in the audio. We'll try to get by with this. And this is Phil Schneider in 1995 speaking before a UFO Congress in the state of Idaho.
Rather horrendous designs and mechanizations of our federal government structure that I feel directly imperiled not to tell anybody about, so that's why I'm here telling you. In doing so, I'm breaking my security oaths. I am also guilty of breaking major federal law. How long I'll be able to do this, anybody's guess. However, I would like to mention this talk is going to be broken up into four main topics. Each of these topics will have some bearing on what you people are involved in, you patriot people, or even some of you people that aren't patriots that may be leaning in that way or considering it. I want you to know these United States are a beautiful place. I've traveled in over 70 countries, and I cannot remember any country that has the beauty as well as the magnificence of its people like these United States. Give you an overview of basically what I am. I started off, went through engineering school, which half of my schooling was in the field. I built up a reputation for being a geological engineer as well as a structural engineer with both military and aerospace applications. I have helped build two main concerned bases within these United States that have some significance as far as what is it called, the New World Order. Number one is Dulce, New Mexico. I was involved in 1979 in a horrendous firefight with alien human type, whatever you want to call them. And I was one of the survivors. I'm probably the only talking survivor you'll ever hear. Two other survivors are under close guard somewhere in these United States. One is not in very good shape. He's been living in Canada. So I'm about the only one around that knows the firefight, that knows all the detailed files of the entire operation. 66 Secret Service agents, FBI, and the like, Black Berets died in that firefight. I was there. Number one, part of what I'm going to tell you is going to be very shocking. Part of what I'm going to tell you is probably going to be very unbelievable. So if instead of putting on your glasses, I'll ask you to put your skepticals on rather than your spectacles. But please feel free to do your own homework. I know the Freedom of Information Act isn't much to go on, but unfortunately it's basically the best we've got. Your local law library and your nearest law university is a good place to look for congressional records. So if one continues to do their homework, and one can be standing vigilant in regards to their country. I love the country that I'm living in more than I love my life. I would not be standing before you right now risking my life by telling you these things if I didn't believe it so. The first part of this talk is going to concern deep underground military bases and the black budget. Let me first start by emphasizing the black budget. The black budget is a secretive group. Basically a secret budget. It garners 1/4 of the gross national product, the entire gross national product of these United States. At present, the gross national product is around $5 trillion. So 1/4 of that's about $1.25 trillion per year. At least 1.023 trillion, and I say at least, is used in black budget programs like deep underground military bases. Presently, there are 129 deep underground military bases in these United States. Is this our? No, this one doesn't work. Anyway, of these 129 bases, they've been building them day and night unceasingly for since the early 40s. Some of them were built even earlier than that. These bases comprise basically of large cities underground. They're connected by high-speed monorail magneto-leviton trains that can go up to Mach 2. Several books recently have been written about this activity, all of which is verifiable from bibliography. I think Al Bielek will, unfortunately, Al Bielek has my only copy. Is Al Bielek here, by the way? Al Bailey? Yes, please do. Richard Sauber's book, he's a PhD architect, and he's written that he alone also is risking his life by talking about this. He worked with a number of government agencies on deep underground military bases. Okay, there are 129 of these in these United States, in and around where you live. In Idaho, there are 11 of them. It's a very large number. The average depth of each base is roughly a mile deep. They are basic full cities hollowed out underground. They're somewhere between 2 2/3 cubic miles and 4 1/4 cubic miles hollowed out underground. You might ask how this is done. Well, right now they have laser drilling machines that can drill a tunnel 7 miles in one day. Obviously, we the public, I haven't been this informed, they're not told about this, maybe they can use it. But unfortunately, I don't believe these things. The Black Projects, as we know them, sidestep Congress, which is illegal. Right now, the New World Order is depending upon these bases, and if I'd known it was the New World Order involved, I wouldn't have had anything to do with them. I was lied to rather extensively. So. Now, basically, the technology as we know it, for every calendar year that goes by, every 12-month calendar year, the military technology increases about 44 and a half years. This is why it's easy to understand that back in 1943, they were able to create a through vacuum tube technology, a ship that literally disappeared from one place and reappeared 400 miles later in another place. My father, Otto Oscar Schneider, there's an interesting story about him. He was originally a U-boat captain who was captured. He was captured by the French, he was turned over to the United States Army, he was turned over to the United States Navy. He was repatriated here to Cocoa Beach, Florida, and Fort Lauderdale, and taken up to the Philadelphia Navy Yard thereafter. And he was a master machinist as well as an MD doctor. He later became an MD doctor, he never did anything with. But basically, he was involved with different kinds of concerns. Such as A-bomb and H-bomb and Philadelphia experiment and these other kinds of projects. groundwork, he invented a camera, a high-speed camera, that took pictures of the first atomic test in Bikini Island on the 12th of July, 1946, which I have original photographs of, which show unidentified flying objects fleeing the bomb site at a high rate of speed. Bikini Island at the time was infested with things and various deaths of its waters. The natives always saw them. The natives had problems with their cattle, basically pigs is what they raised, and other things. Well, this story has never come out. This is basically what happened. So at that time, through General MacArthur and others, they felt that, in fact, General MacArthur was coined in saying the term, the very next world war we have will be the war of not with people from planet Earth, but from people, from the aliens or people from other planets. And this man was, if we hadn't had him during World War II, we wouldn't be here today. Anyway, my father had laid the groundwork with theoreticians about the Philadelphia experiment and other experiments. What does that have to do with me? Other than the fact of that, all I can say is that if it wasn't for... He never told his kids this, and he kind of kept it secret until a couple of weeks before he died. I kind of regretfully say that. I don't agree with what he did on the other side of the pond in Nazi Germany, but I'll say one thing. I think he had a lot of guts in coming here and doing what he did. He was hated in his own land. In fact, there was a $1 million in gold reward for anybody to kill him. Just bring the picture back of the dead person, and it never happened. Anyway, back to topic number one, this dumb bases or deep underground military bases. We've been basically lied to, folks. We've been lied to a long time. Number one, the alien question. Nobody really knows the truth. We've been ruined by Madison Avenue, who's painted a very unrealistic picture of what's going on with outer space aliens and the insider government, especially at Groom Lake. This particular facility, the hat shows, this wasn't the original insignia. This is kind of like a local fish wrapper type insignia. And the original insignia had a skunk on it, which was part of the infamous skunk words. So, anyway, this particular base originally is housed up to 117 live alien critters, or whatever you want to call them. Right now, it's not housing much of anything. Most of the stealth hardware has been removed. They've moved it over to Kirtland Air Force Base. First of all, I want to tell you about aliens and the alien agenda. Back in 1954, under the Eisenhower administration, the federal government decided to circumvent the Constitution of the United States and form a treaty outside of the borders of the United States, within the borders of the United States. Basically, a treaty from entities outside of the borders of the United States, and it was supposed to be secret. It was called the GREATA 1954 Treaty, G-R-E-A-T-A, GREATA 1954 Treaty. That basically said that the aliens could take a few cows and test their implanting techniques on a few human beings, but they had to give detailed lists of the people involved, et cetera, et cetera. Slowly but surely, the outer space aliens slowly altered the bargain until they decided they wouldn't go by it at all. And back in 1979, this was a reality. The firefight occurred kind of quite by accident. I was involved in building an addition to the deep underground military base at Del Sur, New Mexico, which, by the way, is probably the United States' deepest base. It goes down 7 levels over 2.5 miles deep. But at that particular time, we had drilled 4 distinct holes in the desert ground, and we were going to link them together with shaped charge explosives. and then we were going to basically blow out large sections at a time. Well, my job at that time was to go down in these holes, gather rock samples, check them for their particularity or particle count, give a detailed account of what kind of chemical explosive or plastic explosive to use, and go from there. As I was headed down there, to my total surprise, we found ourselves amidst a large cavern that was already full of outer space aliens, otherwise known as large grays. I was petrified, as most people might be. The only thing I could think of doing at the time was shooting them. I killed two of them, but at the time I could reload, refire at that time on a Walther PPK pistol. I was an engineer, so I didn't feel I had to carry a gun underground. And I always carried this particular one. It's nice and small. It's quite effective. But anyway, I emptied, killed a couple of these things. And at that time, there was several other groups of people down there. It's about 30 people total, and 30 to almost 40 more came down there, and they all got killed. Basically, what had occurred was that we surprised a whole under mountain base of existing aliens, and later I was to find out that we are not the highest on the food chain. These aliens have probably been living on our planet for the better, different groups of aliens anyway, short and the tall grays at least for a million years living here. And this could explain a lot of the theory behind the ancient theory of ancient astronauts and these other kinds of things like that. Might also explain the bloodthirstiness of different kinds of native populaces like the Aztecs, et cetera, Olmecs and whatnot. Anyway, I got shot basically here, and their kind of weapon wasn't really a gun-like thing. It was kind of like a box that they had on their body that they could manipulate, and it burned a hole in me and split my ribs apart. Kind of gory and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, it also gave me a high dose of rather nasty cobalt radiation. And I have cancer to this day. It's probably a result of it, although I can't prove that. Okay, the second part of my talk is topic number two, and includes basically how this all occurred. How could we have possibly gotten involved? Well, we finished from working with, we basically were beaten down by World War II, and I guess we were figured to be rather vulnerable as a populace in the world, which we were at the time. And I'm sure this is probably why we at our weakest point later found out to be vulnerable indeed, and so we were basically attacked. And of course, I think some of us, how many people here are familiar with the crash at Aztec, New Mexico. Raise your hand. In 1947, sometime in July of 1947, there was a large crash of a flying saucer. I believe it had seven or eight alien critters or whatever you want to call them, aliens in it. One survived, and I believe six or seven were, I don't know the whole story about the whole thing. And one of the artifacts I have here on the table is when I was a young child, I was about 14 at the time. I had a friend of my father, was Sir Johnny Rawlins, had a British Naval Intelligence. And I asked him if I could have a piece of metal of this crashed disc, and my father protested violently, and but anyway, you know, Johnny Long said, sure, I can give you a little piece. And you know, he gave me a little piece. I've had it in my collection ever since. That was kind of like a small start of a collection. But other than that, the UFOs, it really wasn't my bag until I started work at Area 51. which is on Nellis Air Force Base north of Las Vegas, Nevada. Going back in 1979 in the firefight, it took me about 2.5 years to recuperate enough that I could go back to work. But I did. I survived. I went back to work through Morrison Peninsula at EG&G and back to all of Page and Page and other construction outfits at the time. Anyway, at Area 51, they were testing all kinds of very peculiar spacecraft. I think you're also, how many people here, for instance, are familiar with Bob Lazar's story? Good. That's a good group indeed. I'd suggest if more of you buy his, or obtain his tape or borrow his tape and read some of the publications. He was a physicist who worked at Los Alamos National Laboratory at Area 51 trying to decipher the what was the propulsion factor of basically these alien spacecraft, these disks and other kinds of type of craft. So, but there's another thing I want to talk to you about other than all this stuff about deep underground military basing that might be effective. We're all basically here as kind of like a captive audience, except that we're all worried about the strange activity of our federal government. I'm very worried about it. They've stonewalled senators. They've lied to the public. They refuse to tell the truth in regards to the alien matters. I can go on and on, but the list is...
We're back here. We apologize for the interruption. Evidently, this is rather sensitive information, and we're going to continue. So here we go.
Run by several topics to you. Recently, I happen to know somebody who's in or out. I live just south of Portland, Oregon. Somebody that works at Gunderson Steel Fabrication. And what they do is they make railroad cars. And a fellow I know, I've known for the better part of 30 years, he works there, he's kind of a lead welder and engineer. He's kind of a quiet type, and he came in excited to me. He called me up, and I met him, and I tried to calm him down quite a bit. But he told me, he says, well, they're building prisoner cars. Looks like everything you've been talking about, the federal government is starting to happen. And he was real nervous about it, and I says, well, slow down, Bob. So anyway, he told me what was happening. He mentioned that Gunderson has got a contract with the federal government to build 107,200 full-length rail cars, each with 143 pairs of shackles in each road in each car. And there are 11 subcontractors in this giant project, and supposedly Gunderson got over $2 billion for the contract. Bedlam Steel, there's different steel outfits or different fabrication outfits across the country are building them. Anyway, I says, hey, this is a nice, fantastic story, but how does it pertain? And he says, well, I got to show you one of these cars. So we did. We went to the rail yards in North Portland. I call it Graffitiville, USA, because it's wall-to-wall graffiti. And there's a new car. And he popped open the seal and slid the door back, and there they were. Boy, he wasn't wrong. Yeah, it's scary. Now, if you multiply 107,200 times 143 times 11, you come up with a monster figure of about 15 million. 15 million is about the number of interested people that I would consider patriots of these United States. and other interested people that don't like seeing what's going on with our federal government that want to do some serious changing but can't do it. See, no more can we vote out our elected officials. They become kings and queens over us. And I hate to say this, folks, but our present structure of government is not democracy at all. It's technocracy. And it's a form of feudalism. It has nothing to do with the republic, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God. These people are godless. They've voted out, they've legislated out prayer in public schools. First of all, the public school system is a disgrace, but here they voted out prayer. You speak before you started class in grade school, you'd have a little prayer. That's kind of a neat thing. Well, now you can't do that. It's against the law. If you do that, by the way, you can get fined up to $100,000 and you get 2.5 years in prison. Now, somewhere down the line, I don't believe this is very prudent. I believe that we deserve better. We can do better. I also believe that our federal government now is running the gamut of enslaving good, freedom-loving people of these United States. I love these United States more than my life, so I'm talking about this to many people as I can find. I'm not a very good speaker, but I can tell you, I'll keep shooting my mouth off until I can, until somebody puts a bullet in me, because I'll tell you, it's worth it to talk to a group like this or any other group about the atrocities of our federal government structure. Now, that's only one problem. There are other problems. How about the deep underground military bases I've been talking about? I'm going to show you a number of things that I've collected here as a kind of statistics, and just bear with me here. I'll drop the mic here.
We have stealth black jets. Here are the different code names. We're in 29 prototypes, different prototypes presently. Cost for biennium is roughly somewhere around $1.6 trillion. I did this compilation in 1993. Budget from U.S. Congress, five-year plan that we're told about is $247.6 million. Couldn't buy the spare parts of all the black helicopters and the F-117As and the B-1, the B-2 bomber, and all the other 24 or 25 prototypes. Couldn't even get the nuts and bolts for that. So we've been lied to, folks, and I know we can do better. Black budget garners this figure, roughly $1.3 trillion every 2 years. Trillion. I'm not talking billion, folks. Trillion. If you don't know what a trillion is, it's 1,000 billion. It's a big number. If you were to regard that as dollar bills, it would be 11 tons of dollar bills. That's how big a trillion is. Okay. The black budget literally means hidden budget. The U.S. Congress never sees the books of this clandestine pot of gold. Contractors of stealth, and I've listed quite a few here, EG&G, Westinghouse, McDonnell Douglas, Morrison Knudsen, Black and Hood Security Systems, Boeing Aerospace, Lorimar Aerospace, Aerospeciale of France, Mitsubishi of Japan, also Mitsubishi Heavy Electric Industries, Ryder Trucks, Bechtel, IG Farben, that's a chemical company, plus a host of hundreds more. Is this what we're supposed to be living up to as freedom-loving people of these United States? I don't believe so. Still, 68% of the U.S. military budget is directly or indirectly affected by the black budget. Star Wars, otherwise nicknamed Star Wars, Strategic Defense Initiative, relies heavily upon stealth weaponry. By the way, none of this would have been available without us taking apart with a fine-tooth comb crashed flying saucers that either we downed or they crashed themselves into our deserts. None. All these materials on the table, some of which are formed by our space shuttle, by the way, you might ask, what's it shuttling? Well, it's shuttling large ingots of metal that are used. They're specially milled down. First of all, they're milled in the confines of outer space. Most of these metals cannot be produced on the planet. They need a near vacuum of outer space for their production. That's what we're shuttling. We're not even, you know, folks, we're not even getting any semblance of what I call pablum. We're not being told anything close to the truth. I believe our government officials have sold us down the drain, lock, stock, and barrel. And by the way, up until several weeks ago, I was employed in the United States government with a Rhyolite 38 clearance factor, one of the highest in the world. Excuse me, questions later.
Microphone, we can't hear you.
Yeah?
Can't hear
me? Well, anyway, this microphone is, I'm a tall person, this microphone doesn't get up any further and it's kind of hurting me. Anyway, another thing about Strategic Defense Initiative, I believe it's there to prevent alien attack upon planet Earth. It has nothing to do with the Cold War. As we have seen, the Cold War was a total farce. And it was only a toy, an implement toy, to garner billions and trillions of dollars from good-loving, tax-paying citizens like I am and you are. For what? I don't mind a defense initiative against attack from if it be from a real threat. But I sure hate to be lied to about there being this kind of communism and that kind of communism. And when we all find out, the whole thing has been planned lock, stock, and barrel for the last 75 years by an intergovernmental group, I guess, then we kind of know which side the bread is buttered on. Anyway, here's another piece of information for you folks. The DEA, ATF, Drug Enforcement Agency, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearm, these agencies rely upon stealth tactical weaponry for as much as 40% of its operations and budget. This is in 1993. The figures have gone up considerably since. The United Nations used American stealth aircraft for over 28% of its collective worldwide operations from 1990 to 1992, and that's taken for the Center for Strategic Studies and United Nations Report 392.
Well, I would appreciate that. I'm having to bend over here. And it really hurts. Well, thank you very much. The guardians of stealth. There are over three distinct classifications of special police used to guard one of our most well-kept secrets. Number one, this is the most disturbing of all, the MJTF, and that, by the way, that stands for Military Joint Tactical Force, otherwise known as the Black Berets. Some people call them the Delta Force, and there are other names for it. It's a multinational tactical multinational tactical force primarily used to guard the various stealth aircraft worldwide. And by the way, see the picture over here on the table? You might come all over there and look at it. After the talk, you might do that or during the break. You'll find out a nice picture of it there. There were 172 of them built. 10 of them crashed or were crippled. Something went wrong with them. So there's roughly 162 or 3, I can't remember at last count. We gave them away, the federal government gave them away, Bill Clinton signed them away about 6 weeks ago, the United Nations. Is this what we are paying our hard-earned tax money to do, folks? No, I don't believe so, and I know we can do better. And I actually believe I'm not advocating the overthrow of any government. I don't believe in such for the main reason. Number one, it always kills the wrong folks. But I believe if I have the chance to tell people about these atrocities, I think that there will be some serious letter writing, if not letter writing, some serious conscientious voting
done in the very near future on various elected government officials, if not the whole category of elected government officials. Case in point I might want to mention is our local, please ask the questions later if you don't mind, our local government officials have also kind of labeled us a bunch of rubes and morons, and I think we can expect a lot better than that. Starting off with the World Trade Center bombing, I was hired not too long ago to do a report. First of all, I know about the 90-some-odd varieties of chemical explosives. First of all, I looked at the pictures that were actually taken right after the blast, and the concrete was puddled and melted. The steel and the rebar inside the cement was literally extruded up to 6 feet longer than its length. And there's only one weapon that can do that, and that's a nuclear weapon. And that's a construction nuclear weapon. So obviously the people that they're looking for that they say was a nitrate explosive that did the damage, they're lying 100%, folks. The people they have in custody probably didn't do the crime. As a matter of fact, I have reason to believe that that very same group did do other crimes. They killed, I believe, a Jewish rabbi in New York, and maybe this was some kind of scapegoat problem, but I'm not sure about that. However, I want to further mention that with the last explosion in Oklahoma City, they also say basically it was a nitrated or fertilizer bomb that did it a whole truck full. First, they came out with the information, said it was 1,000 pounds, then it was 1,500, then it was 2,000, then it was 3,000, then it was 4,000, now it's 20,000. Well, by the way, you can't put 20,000 pounds in the Ryder truck, can you? Now, I've never mixed explosives per se. I know the chemical structure and the application of construction value explosives. I earned a reputation on it. I helped hollow out over 13 deep underground military bases in the United States. I worked on the Malta project. I worked on West Germany on its military bases, and Spain on its, and Italy on its. I can tell you from very sure experience, a nitrate explosive wouldn't have hardly shattered the windows of that building. It would maybe have knocked the facing off. It would have killed a few people, maybe at the most 20 to 30 people tops, but it would never have done that kind of damage. I believe I've been lied to as a member in good standing of these United States, and I'm not taking it any longer. So I'm telling you that you've been lied to. How many people there are in this room, you've all been lied to, lock, stock, and barrel. And I do believe if we all get up and say, we've had enough, we want the truth, and if we're not going to get the truth, we want you to step down. If you won't step down, then I do believe our founding fathers told us and warned us that a federal government structure out of control is totalitarian slavery, and I do believe that we have to do something about it. I think we can do better. I think these people of these United States, mostly older people above the age of 45, are now seriously worried about their own future. And I'm going to give you a run by some scenarios here that are scary indeed. The United Nations is a world dictatorship body. Period, plain and simple. It is housed in the United States. By the way, some years ago, there was an interesting thing that happened. The United Nations sent the Uncle Sam, in quote Uncle Sam, a bill for $8 billion. So the Uncle Sam, the federal government, sent the United Nations a bill for $200 billion. They haven't paid one nickel of rent on prime real estate in New York City. They have special trains that show all these diplomats around. One of my best friend's wives and her two little boys was killed by a drunken diplomat
from Kuwait. Who, by the way, nothing, our law, by the way, has no effect. I'm going to tell you another thing. Military law on military reservations has no effect. Public law on military reservations has no effect. Once again, our wonderful, beautiful, thin sheet of paper called the United States Constitution and another nice thin sheet of paper called our Bill of Rights has been trampled on beyond repair. We have to stand up and say, this is enough, and you as elected officials are going to obey the Constitution of these United States. Number one, by first limiting the amount of your service to our federal government. Like one term. One ping only, as the Navy would say, one ping only. By the way, one term is plenty. Because if you're an evil person, one term you can do a lot of harm. If you're a good person, you can do a lot of good. Two ways of looking at it. Our elected government officials have sidestepped the whole thing and says, well, with so-called Contract of America. Let me run this scenario by you, folks. Contract of America is the exact terminology that Adolf Hitler used to subvert his people in 1931. I believe we're not of that same caliber. I believe we can do better. Another thing, the contract with America is a last-ditch effort by our federal government structure to tear away the Constitution of these United States and the Declaration and the Bill of Rights. A Declaration and the Bill of Rights, rather. Reading these wonderful pieces of paper that were somehow protected us from economic and other forms of slavery, I doubt if there's more than 50 people in this room, including me, I hate to say, has seriously read the U.S. Constitution. That's a national disgrace. I'm beginning. I picked up a book out of a library, and I photocopied it. I'm reading it extensively. Our founding fathers separated church and state. It did not legislate any form of judgeship or judge body to say that we cannot pray either in a school, on federal government property. And by the way, you cannot pray on federal government property. If you do so, you're in violation of federal government standards and laws. And you can be guilty of a $100,000 fine and 20 years in prison. I do believe people that are now in charge are atheists. And if they are not atheists, what are they? I think we can do better. Another thing I want to blow by your ears is the fact that a lot of you have probably seen in different areas black helicopters. There's over 64,000 black helicopters in these United States. For every hour that goes by, there's one being built. Is this the proper use of our tax money? I don't believe so. What in the heck does the federal government need 64,000 tactical helicopters? Or if they are not trying to enslave us. I doubt the entire military government structure needs 64,000 worldwide, supposedly over 230 countries. I doubt all the world needs that many helicopters. Stealth aircraft, for instance. The F-117A, there's 157 of the son of a guns going around. You know their sole purpose is? They're all loaded with LIDAR, L-I-D-A-R, and SEER, Computer Enhanced Imaging Radar. They can fly over your house. They can see you walking from room to room. They can tell if you've got an old antique rifle on your mantelpiece. They can see objects in the house with a variation limit and capability of 1 inch to 30,000 miles. That's how accurate this is. Is this the proper use of our tax money?
I would say not. Now, I worked in the federal government for a long time. I know exactly how these people handle their business. Every time I did a job, worked in a federal government installation, I was given a battery of 17 psychological and 8 other forms of tests. First of all, we were supposed to be the militia, but somehow up jumps the Brady Bill and other evil bills like it. I don't agree crazy people should be shooting firearms, but on the other hand, I do believe in vigilance. And vigilance is guided by a good spirit who knows the difference between right and wrong, who loves God, who loves talking to God, regardless of what religion we are. And by the way, there's a lot, probably in this room there's at least a dozen different kinds of religions. I might be wrong. But I'll tell you, they're all good. God doesn't respect what religion you belong to, contrary to what you may have been told. I can tell you, though, that if we are to allow the atheist federal government structure to enslave us, we won't have this opportunity any longer. We have to do something about it. How are we going to do something about it? Well, some of us are attorneys in this room, perhaps, maybe one or two of us. Maybe somebody works for an attorney. Maybe somebody knows somebody who is a good attorney. I know that seems like a hard number to come up with, but there are a few of them out there. Maybe somebody knows a senator or a congressman or has had help by such. There's one outstanding in Oregon. His name is Mark Hatfield. That man helped me fight the federal government. See, my father left me these pictures of what he took at Bikini Island. Operation Crossroads. And I'm going to have this one out on the table as the original. I'll ask you please carefully handle it. Try not to put too many fingerprints on it. Right over here, and I'll point to it, Hey, Dago, is a structure, is an unidentified flying object. This was taken 12th of July, 1946. Federal government at that time knew all about flying saucers, what they were and what their agenda was, and how they wanted control us by world domination.
And we're going to pause there. We've been listening to a speech given by Mr. Phil Schneider, who passed away sometime in 1996. He was murdered, most likely for having shared the truth about what he knew about underground bases. Welcome calls to bbsradio.com if you'd like to talk about anything you've heard, make a comment about this. And again, I apologize for the audio quality that was taken from the original videotape. There was obviously quite a bit of extraneous noise from the tape itself. The technology has improved quite a bit over the past 10 to 12 years. But we still are going to hear that audio quality at some of these events. They're done in banquet rooms and in hotels, and the last thing they pay attention to is the sound quality. Nevertheless, there are some interesting points that Mr. Schneider made, and despite attempts to silence him, and they did silence him, his tape, his speeches, and transcripts of his speeches survived, and they've made their way around the world, and we owe a great deal of gratitude for the revelations that he brought to our attention. Now, what's interesting about the Dulce base, and he didn't spend all his time in this speech talking about it, though he even alluded to the fact that he could spend days talking about it. One of the things that came out in another speech he had given in the state of Colorado that same year alluded to the fact that he felt that he was lured down there. In other words, he began blasting the rocks, that maybe the intention was for the government to overtake the Grays, which Mr. Schneider described in great detail. And it wouldn't have been an accident that he went down there and that the Special Forces, the Delta Force, or the Black Berets, as they're called, would have just happened to show up. This was obviously a plan, and it failed. Now, coincidentally, a year ago, in June, I believe it was around June 5th, was George Norrie's fifth year anniversary. And I had called into the show. His guest that night was Linda Moulton Howe, who has done quite a bit of research on underground bases and in respect to cattle mutilations. She is one of the foremost experts on abductions, and she was very interested in documenting the thousands of cattle around the country, particularly in the western states, that had been found drained of their bodily fluids and surgical procedures having been conducted where the tongues and the rectums and various organs, the eyes, for example, had been removed from these cattle. Some of the abductees that escaped the Dulce base, one being a Charlene Tilton, who had even drawn pictures of the base and describing vats underground with human body parts and parts of these cattle floating in solutions in these large vats and in test tubes and other types of containers. It adds another dimension to the story that Phil Schneider talked about. He didn't go into those details in this speech. He didn't need to. His confrontation, his experience was of another nature, but very real. Now, one thing you don't see as you're listening to Mr. Schneider speak, and you may hear it in his voice, that after he carries on a long sentence, he runs out of air, as we all do when we speak. But he had a rather large hole blown through his chest, and he described that it was a gory injury and that he had suffered radiation poisoning and developed cancer. Most likely it was from this burst of cobalt radiation he described. And you can see in the video, he's holding a microphone with his hand, his left hand, which is missing two fingers. The index and middle fingers are completely burned off. And you can also see that that hand suffered more than just the loss of those two fingers. At one point in this presentation, he actually lifts up his shirt and shows the audience the wound on the front of his body as well, the one that caused his ribs to separate and caused the organs and the ribs themselves to protrude through the opening that was blown through his chest. That in and of itself would make someone angry. Now, I had called the George Norrie Coast to Coast show to mention the fact that that particular evening when they were talking about the Roswell incident, and here he alludes to the fact that there was a ship and he holds up the photograph. There was a ship that was watching a nuclear explosion, and that's visible in the photograph, from 1946. So they knew about these craft before then. And I brought up on the Coast to Coast program the fact that I had been an investigator into the crash site of the so-called Cape Girardeau, Missouri crash of 1941. We're talking 6 years and some months prior to the Roswell incident. Of course, the Roswell incident didn't occur in Roswell, just like the Cape Girardeau incident didn't occur in Cape Girardeau. They like giving names and locations for these events, yet they're seldom exactly in the place where they describe the event having occurred. There is reference in the National Archives in some of the redacted copies of Roswell material that people have gotten through the Freedom of Information Act that there was a crash in 1941, and it's alluded to in the report, although the location is obfuscated and referred to as southwestern Missouri. And anyone that knows their geography somewhat, especially those that live in Missouri, know that Cape Girardeau is in the southeastern portion of the state, not the southwestern. There are other incidents, probably many in 1938. I suspect there was one somewhere near a Malden Air Force Base, which is more to the west of Cape Girardeau, and it's a base that was an Army Air Base, closed down eventually. Now it's somewhat of a museum. It could have very well been that these craft have been here long, long before, and Jim Mars wrote and investigated the Aurora, Texas crash in 1899. So these are not singular events, and they're not the imagination of people that use the Internet. In fact, the Internet had just been out for a couple of years when Mr. Schneider gave this speech, and he really didn't even refer to the Internet other than the fact that it's been a vehicle for getting the truth out. His experience had nothing to do with the Internet and had everything to do with the fact that there is a base. Now, what I found interesting is that Linda Moulton Howe had made the comment to me on the Coast to Coast program that it would be easier to prove that the Cape Girardeau crash occurred than it would that the Dulce base existed. Here we have a base described, an underground base or a deep underground military base that is about 2.5 miles deep, 7 levels. And as Branton has described, levels 5 through 7 belong to the aliens. And in particular, they describe the Greys, they describe Dracos or Draconians, and they describe reptilians as being the inhabitants there, some working in tandem with government scientists. All sorts of genetic experiments. We have missing people to the tune of 100,000 a year in this country alone. And many of the people that have spoken about the Dulce base, which Linda Moulton Howe says we would have a hard time proving, have described the same scenes going on there. It's a sadistic place. It's a satanic place. And it warrants being covered up as far as they're concerned, because if all the people in this country were to find out about it, you'd have an uprising overnight. What is the significance of this? Well, he speaks a lot about the amount of money being spent. And I can tell you today, and we're talking 12 years after this speech that you were just listening to, that the same money laundering, the same embezzlement, the same theft and misappropriation of funds is going on. He talks about Star Wars and the real purpose for Star Wars. One would have every reason to assume that he knew quite a bit about that as well, because he was working on the underground bases. He was working at many of the locations where these facilities were being built, and he gave a laundry list of these contractors, these military contractors in the aerospace industry that were all involved. He talked about the trains. We've heard about this story from a variety of sources. and he talked about the tunnel systems and the high-speed trains that shuttle people around, mostly those in the government. And he made some very valid points about prayer and the elimination of prayer from our schools, and to think that someone, that a school child or someone working in a school would be fined $100,000 and serve 20 years in prison for saying a prayer. What does that tell you about this world? What does that tell you about the governments? And he spoke quite a bit about the UN as well. I found it very interesting, the amount of courage he showed, and he gave up his life in 1996. He had been strangled, in fact, and they as usual, they tried to make it sound like it was a suicide, and we know it's not. We know it wasn't. We know from his words, from the tone of his voice, and the power of the words he used, he did say he would speak till the end of his days. We owe quite a bit of gratitude to Mr. Phil Schneider, and I will play the rest of his speech on tomorrow night's show. Have no callers yet. I'm hoping to talk to someone. It doesn't look like anyone wants to talk about this subject. It is a heavy topic. I've done a lot of reading on it, and I thought I would share this with you. Despite some of the inferior portions of the audio, there is a lot of machine noise, and when you heard his voice disappearing, that was primarily because he was having trouble holding the microphone until they made a couple of adjustments and gave him a longer cable to use. I hope you do some research. I hope you look into these matters. There are many, many fine talk show hosts on the internet, especially on BBS Radio, who talk about these topics. Some are afraid to talk about them, but we have to face up to them. We have to confront them. We have to reveal them. And what we do about it is going to determine our future. Now, what would I suggest as a solution? Well, prayer. Prayer seems to be something that's been attacked here, so it must have some real power behind it, that it would warrant a $100,000 fine and 20 years in prison. I mean, we have people embezzling billions of dollars, even trillions of dollars, and they don't get that kind of penalty. And that they would give that penalty to someone saying a prayer to our God shows exactly who these people are that are making these laws. And it's something for you to consider. It really is. He talked about elections. It's interesting to follow the election results tonight. And the election results don't show at all any honesty whatsoever. I mean, this is a charade that we're going through. And we need to pray about that. We can create a new reality. That's where we are right now. We don't have to put the attention into this madness and this insanity and this game. These people are criminal. He just scratched the surface in talking about whether they were Christians or whether they were atheists. It goes far, far beyond that. Far beyond that. I hope you learned something from Phil Schneider's speech. And I think it would be a good idea for you to reflect on that. If you can get the courage mustered up to come back again tomorrow night, I'll play the second half of that for you. In the meantime, peace, love, and light. Thanks for listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. And good night.